Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Lamed Hey. We are on Lamed Al Lamed Beis. We are talking today, first and foremost, about the blind judge. The blind judge becomes a topic of discussion as the Gemara yesterday darshaned that you can't have a blind judge. And when I say some, I mean Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that you cannot have a blind judge. Rabbi Meir arrives at this conclusion based on a hekesh. The Torah equates a din and riv. Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do that a little bit better. Riv and ega. The Torah puts together two ideas: that of litigation, court, and that of negayim or tzaras. And we know that when a kohen sees tzaras, the kohen has to be able to see out of both of his eyes. It's a requirement. It's a necessary requirement regarding tzaras, just both from the practical level of being able to see, and also just from the halachic level, where the Torah says. Has to be in front of the eyes of the kohen. So the same thing is true regarding Riv. When it comes to litigation, even though you can make the argument that the judge doesn't necessarily need to see, at least not out of both eyes, but the Hekesh teaches us that he has to see out of both of his eyes. So so Ramer is of the opinion that in order for a judge to be able to adjudicate, he has to see out of both of his eyes. And also Ramer disagrees with the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that you can judge during the day and at night, and Ramer says, no, you can only judge during the day. Because again, in order to judge, you have to have full visual capability. So, Ramer does not agree with our Mishnah. With that stated, the Gemara launches into the following anecdote. How is Tamya David b'Shavusa de Rav Yochanan? Lamed Alamed Beis, more than halfway down on the Amud, last two words in the line are How is Tamya? So there was this blind man in the community of Rav Yochanan David Dain Dino. B'lar Melei Rav Yochanan V'lo Midin. Rav Yochanan didn't protest at all, despite the fact that he was blind. Let us suggest right now that when the Gemara says he's blind, it doesn't mean that he was totally blind. For purposes of this discussion, let's assume that he was blind out of one eye. But still, controversial in terms of whether or not he could serve as a judge, and Rav Yochanan was totally fine with it. So, Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara says, now this seemingly would offend Rav Yochanan, or should offend Rav Yochanan, because we know throughout Shas we say time and again that Rav Yochanan always passes like a Stam Mishnah. If Rabbi Huda Hanasi is recording a Mishnah anonymously, so Rav Yochanan says, that's a tell. That tells us that Rav Yehuda feels this to be the accepted halacha. And when you have a Stam Mishnah and it falls like a particular Shita, so that's the accepted halacha, Vitnan, and we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is not here in Sanhedrin, but rather it's a Nida. The Mishnah Nida tells us, Kol HaKashla Adon Kashla Ha'id. So if you could judge, you could certainly be a witness, the Yesha Kashla Ha'id, Vein Kashla Adon, but it doesn't work the opposite way. In other words, there are those who can testify even though they cannot judge. V'am Rav Yochanan Asuye Suma Be'achem Einav. And Rav Yochanan says that we're talking about somebody who's blind in one eye. Someone who's blind in one eye, so it's a bit of an oddity, but it's the way to understand the Mishnah Nida, is that somebody who's blind in one eye has the capability of testifying, even though he does not have the ability to judge. It runs a little bit counterintuitive, meaning to testify, by definition, means you need to see. And he can. In other words, he could see out of one eye. But in order to judge, you have to, at least according to the Mishnah Nida, be able to see out of both of your eyes. So, we have a Stam Mishnah over there, and the Gemara says, and that Stam Mishnah should lead us to the conclusion that we're following the sheet of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, in order to judge, you have to be able to see out of both of your eyes. And so we have a Stam Mishnah. So, question, how can Rav Yochanan allow a judge in his community to be judging when only he can only see out of one eye? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Stam Achrita Ashkach. Rav Yochanan had another Stam Mishnah. Notably, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in the fourth parak of Sanhedrin, Dina Mamanos Danim Bayom Begomer Belaila. Our Mishnah says that you could start you have to start the monetary case during the day, but you conclude it even at night as well. Now, at night means even though there is not perceptive ability, you don't have the perception of visualization. It is impaired. Now, not because of the judge per se, but just simply because it's nighttime. But what the Gemara is doing is equating visual impairment of night to visual impairment of only being able to see at one eye. The fact that our Mishnah allows it means that our Mishnah does not subscribe to the opinion of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, so we have another Stam Mishnah, like our Mishnah here in Sanhedrin. And so now, Gemara just wonders, well, we have a Stam Mishnah Nida that does follow the opinion of Rav Meir. We have our Stam Mishnah Sanhedrin that does not follow the opinion of Rav Meir. So now it's Stam versus Stam. My Umev Hai Stama Me Hai Stama. Why is one Stam Mishnah any better than the other? Ibai say Stam de Rabim Adif. So look, we know it's Machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Meir. The Mishnah Nida is following Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is following the Chachamim. So one argument you can make is that the stam of the Chachamim is greater than the stam of Shitas Yachid. And another indicator that our Stam Mishnah is going to be the more accepted one is location. location. Where is the Stam Mishnah regarding the rejection of Rav Meir? Right here in Masechta Sanhedrin. Where is the Stam Mishnah that is subscribing to Shitas Rav Meir? Tucked away back in the end of Shas in Masechta Nida. So if I have a question of which Stam Mishnah I should look towards in terms of what the halacha is regarding Sanhedrin, look at the Mishnah and Sanhedrin location. We do have general rules in terms of who the Stam Mishnah follows like, but this is another issue regarding Stam Mishnah, and that is that the accepted halacha? So Rav Yochanan says it is, but over here now we have conflicting Stam Mishnayos. So that's what the Gemara says. That's why we have to weigh other factors. V'Rabbi Meir hi v'shaftu asam b'choleis my darshibay. Now according to Rav Meir, what does he do with the pasuk which we quoted earlier, meaning yesterday? And the pasuk yesterday, we learned from this pasuk that you could finish the din at night, but according to Rav Meir, you can't finish the din at night. So what is he going to do with this pasuk? Amrav alusu yamama unan. So what if it's during the day, but it's a cloudy day? So there is now going to be a lack of sun. You could make the argument that according to Rav Meir, that's no good. Meaning, if the weather's no good, you can't judge, right? I love the idea that the sana is on the door of the court, right? court adjourned due to cloudy weather. But the Gemara says no. But that's the chiddush, that even according to Rav Meir, who needs visual acuity, but you can judge even though the day is cloudy, as long as it's daytime. Did not ein ronis and agam shachris or ben arabayim v'lo besoch habayis v'lo biyom ha'mu'unan. Now, it happens to be that regarding the Kohen looking at Saras, he cannot look at Saras early in the morning, meaning really early in the morning, when you don't have sun. And not Bein Arbaim, not after the sun sets, and it's dusk. Not inside the house, you need sun, and not on a cloudy day. Because even though it is dim, it's going to seem stronger, meaning you don't have the proper lighting. And not directly in the sun itself, because when it's strong, it looks dim. So in other words, you have to look at it against sunlight, but not directly in sunlight. So again, by Tzara'as, we know that in order to be able to properly look at Tzara'as, you need the proper lighting. And the chiddush now is that according to Rav Meir, even though that's true regarding Negaim, and even though there's a hekesh that connects Nega and Riv, but the halacha is regarding Din, it can be judged during the daytime even though it's a cloudy day. Now according to Rav Meir, what are we going to do with the pasuk of Bayom Hanchilo? Because remember, that was where we learned out that Din must be done during the daytime. So Hahumi by, and for him, he doesn't need this drasha because, once again, he has his hekesh. Once he has the hekesh, we don't need any other drasha. What is he going to do with this pasuk? Hahumi by lelichadini rabba barchanina kamid rav nachman vayab yaman chilam espanav vayamatamapel nachlos viatamapel nachlos balayla. During the day, you can do probate law, but at night you can't do probate law. Now, what does that mean? I said it very vague, and I said it ambiguous, and I did that for a reason, because it prompts the Gemara to ask the next question. So Gemara says, now what exactly did I just say? I said, I know what I said. I said that if during the day you do probate law, and at night you don't do probate law, and the Gemara says, well, what does that mean? It means that if the guy dies during the day, oh, okay, fine, Yerusha. Okay, good. His kids are going to inherit the property. And you mean to tell me, says the Gemara, that if you die at night, so then we're not going to execute probate law, and your kids is not going to yarsh in your estate? And then even within the suggestion, I don't know what the Gemara is saying, meaning the Gemara now saying that the estate should go to somebody else, or the estate should just simply be hefker? It's a havamina. And the Gemara is going to reject it. But obviously there has to be some distinction to be made between day and night as it relates to Yerusha. And the Gemara now is going to articulate what exactly that difference is. So Dilma din nachlos kamart. So the Gemara says perhaps what's being stated over here is of course Yerusha is going to happen whether the person Rachman al-Aslan dies during the day or during the night. That's not going to make a distinction. The distinction lies in the fact of executing probate law. What we mean by that is as follows. Look at Rashi. Rashi, Dine Nachlos Kamard. Rashi is about 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, 7 lines. Now 6. Debiyam Haviet Savas Meis Din Pasuk. Ve'ein Tzarech Od L'dayanim. Meaning that if the person is dying and he gives a tzava, last will and testament, So that is now, and he does it in front of three, as the Gemara is about to articulate in just a second. So that is going to have the operative principles of din. In other words, now it has been decided in front of a Beis Din. We don't need any more adjudication. Now at nighttime, meaning if the person is dying at night and he's giving sava, and he's giving his last will, his last instructions, so at night it doesn't operate like a din. What are the people who are listening? They're going to serve as witnesses. And what's going to happen is that the people are hearing him give the tzava at night, so they can only act as witnesses, they can act as judges. So in other words, what Rav Meir is teaching us from this pasuk is this idea that when a person is dying during the day, and he's giving a tzava during the day, and he has to give it in front of three, the Gemara is going to make that point clear, so that now has the halachic aspects of din. As opposed to at night, it only has the halachic aspect of Eidus Nadin. Gemara now spells this out. Titanya we learned in the Brisa. Back to the Gemara. V'haisa levnei sol chukas mishpat. Ora kol laparsha kula liyos din. That the Yerusha, the halachas of Yerusha really come out to be din. It operates like a judgment. Kid Rav Yehuda Amarav, Dam Rav Yehuda Amarav, Shosha Shenichnesu Levaker Sacholah. Three people come in to do the mitzvah of Biker Cholah. Ratzu Kosman Rasu Osedin. Now, he's going to give instruction. They could write it down, or the three of them can operate like a Beis Din, which means that basically this is it. This is the judgment of how his properties are going to be allocated. Shnayim, Kosim Venosim Din. However, if two people are in there, so they'll write down what he said, and then they're going to go in front of a Beis Din and testify, but they're not operating like a Beis Din. V'am Rav Chisa Lo Shenu Ella B'yam. And this is only going to be true if the three of them are going in during the day. Avah B'layla, Kosim Venosim Din. Bisham Da'avalu Eidim, Ve'ein Eid Na'aseh Dayan. So, but if they go in at night, even if it's three people going in at night, nighttime is not the time that we can do Haschalas Adin. We can't start the din at night. So the only way these three people are operating is only going to be through Eidus, not through Din. And then that means then that they're going to listen to him, they're going to write down everything he's saying, and then the next day they're going to have to present in front of a Beis Din. Why they themselves can't be a Beis Din? So the Gemara says that's based on the principle of Ein Eid Na'aseh Dayan. You cannot wear two hats. You cannot wear the hat of being a witness and then turn around and then end up being the judge, receiving the testimony from the witnesses themselves, because you can't be that same person. So therefore, since you're operating as an aide, you cannot become a Dayan.
How can you do it during the day? Contradicts. They said if they come during the day, they listen to him, they can act as the court.
Yes. Right.
They say, and
No, they're not serving as an aide. They're strictly serving as a dayan, and they're acting as the court. So Amalei in Hachi Kamin, and he said that's exactly what I meant. Meaning, right, precisely. And so, question was, what is Rameir going to be doing with that, with the pasuk of the Yom Hanchilo? Exactly what we just laid out. That when a person is going in, not to the person after he died, but while he's dying and he's giving it tzava. So in terms of how the people are listening to him, sometimes they could be listening as a court, sometimes they're going to be listening as witnesses, and it depends on whether it's day versus night, whether it's two versus three, but in other words, that's what we're doing with the pasuk, and he says exactly, that's what Rav Meir is going to be doing. Dina fashos danim b'yom v'chulei mina hani mili. Gemara over here is now explaining the next distinction that was made in the Mishnah. All told, by the way, I don't know if I ever reported the actual number. All told, there are 10 distinctions in the Mishnah between dina mamonos and dina nefashos. Okay, we are now late in the list of distinctions that are made between dina mamonos and dina nefashos. We just got done explaining that when it comes to dina mamonos, we start during the day, but we can conclude at night. By dina nefashos, you can only do it during the day, meaning both the haschalas din and the gemar din, both the beginning of the judgment and the end of the judgment can only be done during the day. Menahani mili, the gemar says, where does this come from? Am Rav Shimi Barchia Amakrav Vuhukav Osam LaHashem Neged Hashemesh. When those who sinned during the episode of Pinchas and the Midyanim, so those who were taken into justice and executed, so the Torah says that they were hung neged Hashemesh, opposite the sun, meaning it was during the daytime. So obviously we're talking about the execution. The execution is obviously the Gemar Din, and that's done during the day. Amar Rabbi Chista Minayin Lehukah Shehi Tuluyah. Now, that's an unusual word used in the Torah to describe being hung. The Torah's terminology is hukah. How do I know that? That's referencing Taliyah. So the Gemara says we're going to go to another place in Tanakh in order to arrive at that definition. The Torah says in Shmuel Beis and Perikhaf Aleph, the backdrop to the story is where this was by the families of people who died going over to David HaMelech and saying that Shaul and his family were responsible for the death of our family because Shaul killed the Kohanim in Ir Nov. The Kohanim in Ir Nov were the sponsors and the providers for our family. And because Shaul killed off Kohanim Ir Nov, 7 members of our family died. So we are only going to be satisfied if 7 members of Shaul's family are put to death.
Isn't that drama, though?
Yes. This was meta law. This was not the strict letter of the law. And so David capitulated, and he took 7 members of Shaul's family, and he hung them. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Dechziv, v'okanum la'ashem b'giv asha'u b'chir Hashem. And so David now takes 7 members of Shaul's family and puts them to death. And uksiv v'tikach ritzpas basaya. And by the way, the reason why we're quoting this pasuk now is v'hukan'um, which means that they were hung. And if you read on in the Navi, you will see that this clearly is a reference to being hung. Uksiv v'tikach ritzpas basaya esasak v'titeola el hatsur b'tzchilas katsir. Now they were hung for a very long time, throughout the duration of the winter, until springtime. Exactly how long, I don't know, but more than one day's worth. Now, Rashi notes on the very top of Lamed Hamad Aleph that generally speaking, there is a prohibition that yes, after execution, you are to hang the bodies, but you hang the body and then you take it down immediately. And obviously, what was done over here was a violation of that rule. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yavamos. I'm looking at the top Rashi. Ama Megulin Ha'ilafisha Tluyin Ala Eitzim. They were hung on the tree. V'imishim Lo Salinev Laso. Now, yes, says Rashi, there's a general prohibition of not leaving the body hung for. Not even for the night. Hashanin LeBiyavamos Mutav Teakar Osachas B'Torah V'Itzkadishem Shemayim B'Far Heska. So the Gemara in Yavamos, in response to that question, says that, yeah, Te'aker Osachas B'Torah. Yes, it's an Is in the Torah. But over here, there was a Chilah Hashem, meaning that this family that lost 7 members were looking for vengeance. Now, again, not getting too involved in that particular scenario, David realized that there was Chilah Hashem. So to combat the Chilah Hashem, David said, look, here, I'm giving you Shaul's family. And he's Kadeshim Shemayim Befer Hesi, Shiva called Rowan Osam Shaulam, Mativ and Shaul Elo. What happened over here? Halalu B'nei Malachim Heim Upashi Yadam Begerim Gerurim. Now this family also happened to have been converts who lost 7 members. So David wanted to make a very strong point and say, look, that anytime there's any kind of persecution on converts, we take it seriously. So seriously that even though we're talking about members of the royal family, David said it doesn't matter. We are going to extract punishment against them to show and demonstrate to everybody that we don't persecute anybody, and especially we don't persecute Gerim, we don't persecute converts. And so he wanted to make a point. And yes, it is a violation of the Torah of not to let the body hang, but to demonstrate that we don't allow for this kind of behavior, not even amongst the royal members of the family. So David did it. Okay.
Did they come first, or they stole first and then?
I assume they were first executed and then hung. The hanging itself was not the execution. I assume so. So the and Ritzpas Ba'aya, what the Navi is reporting is that she covered the body, so try to not embarrass the family members any more than they were already embarrassed. Viksiv. Okay, I'm sorry, period. We can pause over there. That is now where the Gemara gets the idea that the word Vuka means to be hung. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have this idea that din and nefashos can only be judged during the day, both the Haschalas HaDin and the Gemara Din as well. As long as we quoted the psukim from Parshas Pinchas, the Gemara continues, uksiv vayom Hashem ha-Moshe kachetz roshei ha-am, so im ha-am chetu, roshei ha-am machetu. Now, the nation sinned, but why roshei ha-am? What did they do? I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, I'm Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'moshe chalak lehem bati dinim. Go and divide amongst bati dinim, meaning, make as many courts as possible and judge right now everyone who needs to be judged. My time ilema mishum she'ein danim shnayim bayom echad. Now the Gemara says, now what's the problem over here? Meaning, why can't I just have one court repeatedly judge multiple cases in the same day? Is it because there's a prohibition doing so? The Gemara says, yes, but that wouldn't affect us over here. The prohibition of one court judging multiple cases a single day is only if there are different averos. And therefore, remember, as we've discussed time and again now over the last couple of days, the judges have to be extraordinarily careful about the reason why they're convicting, and they have to be focused on a particular topic. However, if the next case that comes in is the same topic, so then you can have the court judging even a second case as well. So over here, everybody is being involved in Avodah Zarah, specifically Baal Peor. They're all going to be subject to the same penalty. So you can have the same court doing the same judgment even multiple times in a single day. So the Gemara says that's not the issue. The issue is Ella, Kedei Sheyishev Charon Af Mi Yisrael. The issue is that what Moshe wanted Hashem to see is that as much as we were involved in the Avera of Avodah Zarah and Baal Peor, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu had Charon Af, so by us judging them, and not judging them just one court, two courts, but as many courts as possible, so that would remove Charon Af. Rashi here, Dibra Amaskal Ella, just a couple lines down where we are from the Gemara, Rashi writes, Kedemucha Kra. Actually, once you read the Pesukim, you see this actually in the Pesuk itself. V'yashav Charon Af, right? The Pesuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger receded. Again, anger is just the way we speak in order to understand. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emotions, but kaviyachol, as if we can understand. K'sha'HaKadosh Baruch Hu ro'o she'kulam asukim b'dvar u'mekanim l'chvodo. When he sees that we are all involved in this and taking the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the anger it recedes. Up to the next part of the Gemara in Lamed Hamad Aleph, Dinim Amnos Gomrim Bo Bayom. Dinim Amnos is to be judged at night, and what the Gemara now is commenting is on the following. We also know, we learned together in our Mishnah, that in the event that we see that we're headed towards a conviction, so we're going to not finish the case today. If we see that the voting is going to head towards a conviction, we're going to tell everybody, stop, let's everyone go to bed tonight, if you can sleep, and try to sleep on it. And tomorrow morning we're going to come back, we're going to do a little more deliberation, and then we're going to take it to a vote. And where does this come from? Where does this idea come from? The Gemara now cites a source. From Perek Aleph of Yishayahu, Chazon Yishayahu. So the Navi says that without proper halana, without proper, the court staying overnight, postponing the judgment one night, so atam eretzachim. But if you do it immediately, you're ratzchanim, you're murderers. It's very strong language of the Navi, meaning that if you judge too quickly, it's tantamount to murder. You don't want to do that. You want to allow everyone to sit on this idea that we need to execute somebody, spend the night thinking about it. Tomorrow morning you wake up with the same thought. Good. I say good meaning that is now judgment that was properly considered. But doing it too quickly is ke'ilu yiratzchanim. Rava learns it from a different pasuk, also from the first parak of Yeshayahu. Amar me'acha ishru chamotz. Ishru dain shemachmitz es dino. You let the judgment ferment. Let it sit. Let everyone think about it. Let everybody consider it. Then and only then is it going to be a proper judgment. So two psukim, both in the first parak of Yeshayahu, speaking to this idea that the judgment should sit and that you should not be judging at least a conviction right away. Acquittal, by the way, we said back in the Mishnah that you could do right away. Meaning if we see that the voting is headed towards an acquittal, so you could take care of it right away, you could judge it today. But if we see that it's going for a conviction, so stay the night. And again, the Gemara quotes two psukim. And the Gemara, in its classic style, now is going to discuss what is each going to do with the other's pasuk. V'ida chishu chamotz v'lo chometz. Rashi quotes the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us that, let's say you have a suit and a countersuit. Let's say one person says to another, you owe me money. Like, what's going on over here? Like, I lend you money, you owe me money. Come on, new pay me. And the other guy says, oh, you're suing me? I'm going to countersue you. I gave you collateral and you ruined my collateral. So what is Basin supposed to do? Basin should not be conflating these two issues. In other words, treat each case individually, says the Gemara Baba Kama. First, the person who was owed back his money, he has a claim. You didn't pay me back. Okay, let's go over that. The second lawsuit of the collateral, that's to be done second. In other words, Beis Din treats each one separately. And that we learn from the pasuk of Yishru Chamotz Velo Chometz. Chamotz means first treat the victim, meaning the one who's making the first claim. And then afterwards, if there's a counterclaim, you deal with that second. Idach, hay melesi mishpa mayavid lei. And what does the other do with the other pasuk in Yeshayahu? Kid Rabbi Lazar, Kid Rabbi Al-Azhar, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Tanis Shemalin, Bo Esat Tzedaka, Kilo Shofech Damim. Another halacha, which is that on a fast day, so you take all that money that you were supposed to buy food with, and you give it to Tzedaka. I don't mean that super literally, but that's the basic idea. Meaning the idea of a fast day is to give Tzedaka. Right, that's one of the key components of a tanis. Somebody obviously is collecting that tzedakah. What should he be doing with that money? I know this is not that difficult to follow. You should be giving that money out to the poor people. That's pretty clear. The point over here the Gemara is making is immediately, meaning that night, the night after the fast day, so that money that was collected for tzedakah should be given out immediately, and the Gemara here says it very strongly. If it's delayed, it's ke'ilu shafech damim, it's like you're committing murder. Shenemar milesi mishpat tzedek. But the Gemara qualifies, v'hani mila b'rifta v'tamri, but that's only when the tzedakah that was collected was prepared food. But if what was collected was either money or wheat, barley, meaning unprepared foods, raw material, so delaying it is not considered shofech damim. Still be nice to give it out right away, but it's not that serious. But if what was collected was food, prepared food on the fast day, so that night give it out right away. The Gemara said, the Gemara puts it zuze. I mean, the Gemara puts it in the category of it's not devastating to delay that. But I right, okay. Yeah, the Gemara says money. Continuing in the Gemara, lefichach ain't done him. Okay, the Mishnah. We're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, now that we know that in a capital case, when we're headed towards a conviction, so we are not to decide right now. We are to wait a day. Wait overnight. Tomorrow we'll continue. We'll pick it up where we left off today. So therefore, the Mishnah says you cannot start a capital case on Friday. Because what may end up happening is that we're going to have to delay it, and we're going to reconvene on Shabbos, and you can't do that. For reasons which now the Gemara is going to articulate. Mishum delo efshar. So the Gemara says, the reason why is because it's an impossibility. Now the Gemara is going to go through five different suggestions in terms of, well, maybe let's consider, and the Gemara is going to reject every one of these five possibilities, and the Gemara's conclusion, of course, is going to be low efshar. It's impossible. Now we know that's a conclusion because that's what the Mishnah taught us. But the Gemara now is going to take a step by step why it is impossible. So the Gemara says, number one, ledana b'malei shabasa v'ligmer ledina b'malei shabasa. So the Gemara says, let's start on Friday, let's finish on Friday. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma chazu tam l'chova v'ol l'mevet halana sadin. Gemara says, yeah, but that's only if we're headed towards an acquittal. But if we're headed towards a conviction, we know that we can't finish on Friday. We're going to have to push it off a day. So starting on Friday and finishing on Friday is not going to necessarily work. Fine. Step two. L'dayne b'male shamasa v'legamre b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so start on Erev Shabbos and finish on Shabbos. And if we're going to execute, so we're going to execute on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Ein ritzicha doche es haShabbos." No, you can't do that because ritzicha is not going to override Shabbos. Meaning, executing somebody who needs to be executed is a mitzvah in the Torah. Right? That's it's judgment. It's exacting judgment, and that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Beis Din has this most unpleasant but necessary mitzvah. The Gemara is going to entertain, but reject this idea that maybe should override the Shabbos. Right now, we're at the conclusion. The conclusion is it cannot override the Shabbos, even though it's a mitzvah. So, the Gemara is saying, so therefore, this is not going to be an option. Starting the case on Friday, finishing it on Shabbos, needing to execute on Shabbos, you can't do it because it does not override Shabbos. Now, even in this consideration, let's go over Tosfos. Tosfos says over here a couple of points. Number one says Tosfos. You know you're not allowed to judge on Shabbos, meaning you're not allowed to have a court and convene on Shabbos. Now, this is based on a Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says it's a Gzeira d'Rabbanan. Because if you are having a court convening on Shabbos, they're going to write things down. And for fear that they're going to write down, so therefore the Chachamim made a gzera that one is not allowed to convene a court on Shabbos. So how can the Gemara over here even entertain the possibility of having the court convene on Shabbos? Meaning it seems like from our Gemara, that wasn't the critical issue. The critical issue is you can't execute on Shabbos. But in terms of the suggestion the Gemara just made, well, let's just reconvene on Shabbos, Gemara seemed okay with that. So Tosfos over here makes a suggestion that yes, there's a ban on a court convening on Shabbos, but that is for dinei mamonos. When it comes to monetary law, because the court's going to have to write down the conclusion of how the court decided. But when it comes to dinei nefashos, when you started the case on Friday, everything was already written down on Friday. The stenographers wrote down everyone's opinion and the reasons for that on Friday. That's what Tosa suggests. Maybe, therefore, there would be no problem in of itself of a capital case continuing on Shabbos. Next point of Tosfos, Tosfos Divra Maschal, Ein Ritzicha Doches, a Shabbos. Fascinating discussion here in Tosfos. The Gemara was entertaining the idea that we'll execute on Shabbos. The Gemara says that the execution of a person is not going to override the Shabbos. The Gemara is assuming that the act of executing on Shabbos would be a biblical violation, would be an Issur Torah. What is the Issur Torah of executing on Shabbos? So let's for a moment entertain. Now, there are four different ways to execute. We're going to be discussing that in greater detail throughout the Perek. Not this Perek. Sixth Perek of Sanhedrin, coming up later on. But one of the methods of execution is sreifa. So for our purposes right now, let's assume that it's sreifa. Sreifa requires the lighting of a fire. So executing would sometimes require havara. Havara is one of the 39 malachas. So the Gemara says elsewhere in a number of places that that's only going to be a malacha when it is for the purposes of construction. Meaning like cooking. If I'm lighting a fire for cooking, so that is havara, but that would be a malacha. But over here, it's a destructive act. Meaning I'm lighting a fire in order to kill somebody. That is a kilkul. And the Gemara tells us that havara for the purposes of kilkul is not a malacha. But meanwhile, the Gemara over here assumes it is a malacha. Look at the last line of this very short Tosfos. He writes, In our regard, this is not mekalkel, because hacha chashiv tikun deyesh lo kapara. Over here, executing a person who needs to be executed is considered a takana. It's considered a constructive act, not a destructive act. By him being executed by Beis Din, he will be receiving a kapara, and therefore it's considered a tikun. Says Tosfos, therefore this would constitute a malacha d'araisa. Back to our Gemara. So what the Gemara now has done is made two suggestions. Start on Friday and finish on Friday. It's not always going to work out. There may be conviction. We need to continue to Shabbos. Start on Friday and finish on Shabbos. No. Executing somebody does not override Shabbos. We're going to make that point even clearer in the Amud Beis. Suggestion number three of the Gemara. We are on Lamed Amud Aleph. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the first word in the line is Velikdalei. Velikdalei la'orta neged Hashemesh be'ina. Well, why not just simply finish the case on Shabbos? The execution waits till Saturday night. So the Gemara says, no, because neged Hashemesh, because we already established that every procedure of a capital case must be done during the day. Velikmer ledina, fourth suggestion of the Gemara. Velikmer ledina b'shabasa, velikdalei b'chad b'shabasa. So finish the case on Shabbos, execution wait till Sunday morning. So the Gemara says, nimsa atam me'ane ezdino. First time the Gemara has mentioned this, we're going to see this idea a couple of times throughout the Masechta. It's what's called inui hadin. Once there is a conviction judgment by the court, you execute as soon as you possibly can. This idea of death row, it is not a Torah idea. We're going to see our Gemara is very against this idea that once Beis Din arrives at a decision, you execute as soon as possible. Now, there is a short amount of time for appeal, but it's a really short amount of time. In the sixth paragraph, we're going to be talking about that short amount of time of an appeal process. But in the meantime, however, you certainly don't decide on Shabbos and wait now till Sunday morning in order to execute. That's called inui hadin. That is too distressing to the person who needs to be executed. Dayan nidaine b'malei Shabbos v'nigbere b'cha b'Shabbos. So the Gemara makes now the last suggestion. Let's start the case on Friday, and if we're headed towards a conviction, so let's just push it off till Sunday. So the Gemara says, no, nothing doing. So min she tamayu, people by Sunday have forgotten what they said. Now, when the Gemara says forget, now, not obviously we're not talking about total forgetting. Now, it's true, says the Gemara, that there are stenographers who are writing down what everyone said and the reason why everyone said it. So there is this idea that it's going to be hard to forget, considering the fact that everything you said is recorded. But yes, it's true, it's being written down, but you're not in the sugya. Meaning you have now taken a full 24 hours, more than 24 hours, right? From Friday afternoon until Sunday morning. You've taken such a long recess that it's not fresh in your mind. You want all this material to be fresh in your mind. So the Gemara says, So like I said in the beginning of the discussion, but now we've ended the discussion, it's just an impossibility. So you can't start a capital case on Friday, which brings us back to the Mishnah. You cannot start a capital case on Friday. Continuing now, the Gemara Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Now, this dialogue is going to take us through the remainder of today's daf and really to the beginning of tomorrow's daf as well. A dialogue between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This is heavy lifting in the Gemara that we're going to be doing. Heavy thinking. Because here and now we're going to be putting together a number of Kal Vachomers in order to arrive at particular conclusions. You got to follow the Kal Vachomers over here. They're easy to follow, it requires thought. So Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan v'take for us Meis Mitzvah Doche Shabbos. Now the beginning of this dialogue has nothing to do with our topic of discussion, but you'll see our topic comes in later, and that's why the Gemara brings in this entire dialogue over here. We know there's this idea of Meis Mitzvah. You find a body dead as you walk down a road. Nobody's taking responsibility for the burial of the body. We have now officially what's called the Meis Mitzvah. It is one of the highest mitzvos that one could possibly imagine. It's going to override nearly everything, which we'll articulate what that means in just a moment. What the Gemara now is taking into consideration is that we know it overrides a lot of Isuri Torah. Let it override Shabbos as well. That if you find a Meis Mitzvah on Shabbos, so I know it's Shabbos, and obviously Shabbos has significance in Halacha, a lot of significance, but over here, Meis Mitzvah is even on a higher plane. And should override Shabbos, and the Gemara says Mikav Chomer. And let us work this out through a logical deduction. Uma Avodah Shadocha Shabbos Kfuras Meis Mitzvah Docha Osa Mevila Achoso. Now we know that Avodah is important, meaning doing the Avodah Beis Hamikdash is important. But we also know, and we also know that Avodah overrides Shabbos. Meaning, do I do the Avodah on Shabbos? Of course I do. Do I bring the carbon tamid on Shabbos? Sure. Kohanim are going to be shechting an animal, burning it on top of the Mizbeach on Shabbos because Avodah overrides the Shabbos. I also know that the burial of a Meis Mitzvah is going to be overriding Avodah. And I know it from the Joshua of Vila Achoso. Now, I'm not going to go through the details over here. I encourage you, read the last Rashi on this Amud, who takes us step by step through the process of how we arrive at this conclusion. But right now, we're looking just at the conclusion. Kid Detanya, I'm reading the Gemara. Over here, we're looking at the parsha in the beginning of Nazir, where the Gemara, in a number of places, I mean here too, but the Gemara just gets to the conclusion. And we're just going to be doing the conclusion right now. And the conclusion is that, why would the Torah, once the Torah tells us that a Nazir cannot come into contact with any Tumah, not a family member, just like a Kohen Gadol, and then why would the Torah then have to spell out his father, his mother, his brother, his sister? So the Gemara darshans a number of points, and we're looking at the last point the Gemara is darshaning. I have a Kohen Gadol who is en route, to either Shech the Karban Pesach, give a son a bris milah. These are obviously important activities. And by the way, so important that if I don't do these activities, subject to Chiv Karis. Now, in the event of doing, in the course of doing this mitzvah, he also comes to discover that one of his relatives die. So should he become Tame? Lo Yitama. No. The Nazir, the Kohen Gadol, should not become Tame. Because again, they're on the level of Kedusha where they do not become tummy for a family member. But what if they discover a meis mitzvah en route to Karban Pesach, giving a milah to their son? The Kohen Gadol, the Nazir, is going to become tummy, needs to become tummy for a meis mitzvah. And even though I'm sorry. Avamitam la meis mitzvah. Shabbos shenitches meimnei avoda. Eino din sheteik vurs meis mitzvah docha osa. So the Gemara says, so now follow the bouncing ball. Follow the kal v'chomer. We have now established that meis mitzvah is going to override and surpass the avoda. Because you can have a kohen gadol en route to doing the avoda. But a discovery of a meis mitzvah takes precedent. We know that avoda is going to override the Shabbos. Karban Tamid is being done even on Shabbos. So, meis mitzvah is greater than avoda. Avoda is greater than Shabbos. So if I string together this logical flow, so then the conclusion we should arrive at, which is now what Reish Lakish is presenting to his brother-in-law, Rav Yochanan, is that meis mitzvah should be overriding even Shabbos as well. So upon discovery of a meis mitzvah on Shabbos, you should be bearing the body on Shabbos, right? So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan says in response, Resicha Tochiach. So he says, well, what about base and executing? Shadochas avoda ve'no dochas shabbos. Now I know execution is going to be overriding the avoda, and meanwhile, execution does not override Shabbos. So to which Reish Lakish basically says, well, why don't we just use the kavachomer to conclude the other way? Well, why don't we execute even on Shabbos and learn it through a kavachomer? And now again, follow the logical flow. Now, as we already established, avoda is going to be overriding Shabbos. So avoda is greater than Shabbos. Again, the Karban Tamid is being offered on Shabbos. And meanwhile, if Beis Din needs to execute somebody, and even though it's going to be at the expense of avoda, we'll do it. Beis Din will do it. The Torah says back in Parshas Mishpatim that if somebody needs, if a kohen is needed to do the avoda, and he's, and it's a strong, it's a powerful visual, and he's literally holding on to the mizbeach, so what you do is you take the kohen and you just simply rip him away from the mizbeach and say sorry. And sorry means you need to be executed. With the kohen, this kohen was obviously subject to being executed. You need to be executed, and even though right now you're the only kohen who's going to do the avoda, it's unfortunate the avoda, we're going to have to lose the avoda because your execution is going to take precedence over the avoda. That's what we learn out from the pasuk of im mizbichi tikachen lamos. Now Rashi notes over here, me im mizbichi velo me al mizbichi, if he already started the avoda. So then he finishes the avoda, but if he didn't start the avoda, so then you rip him away from the mizbech. So now follow. So what have we just learned? That ritzicha is greater than avoda. Executing somebody is going to be overriding the avoda. Avoda is greater than Shabbos. So now, again, following the flow, ritzicha now should be overriding Shabbos. Amar Rava kvar paska tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rava says, look, the logic would lead us to that conclusion, but we have a drasha. And this happens often throughout the daf, where we find that kal v'chomer bring us to a point, and the drasha tells us that do not follow the kal v'chomer's path. The Gemara says, Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel lo sivaru esh. And the Gemara is now quoting from the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. The Torah says that you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. There are 39 malachas on Shabbos. One of them is Havara. It happens to be that this is one malacha that the Torah spells out. And what do we learn out from that pasuk? And the Gemara now is trying to teach us that we're learning out a halacha regarding execution on Shabbos. But the Gemara doesn't kind of let us finish quoting the pasuk. And the Gemara jumps. Matam alomar, matam alomar. Ila Rabbi Yossi l'alav yatsas, ila Rabbi Nassan l'chalak yatsas. Kiditanya, havar l'alav yatsas, div Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nassan amal l'chalak yatsas. What we learn out from the first half of the pasuk is either that lighting a fire on Shabbos is not, does not have a chi of kares. It's only a lav, it's only a negative prohibition, as opposed to the other malachas which are isuri kares and a capital crime. Or the Torah is coming to teach us that each one of the malachas is an independent iser, where when a person violates all 39 malachas on Shabbos, he's going to be subject to 39 different prohibitions, and if done b'shogeg, he's going to have to bring 39 chatos. So that's either l'lav yatsos or l'chalak yatsos, and it has nothing to do with execution. Elam rava tana moshavos kashelei. So the Gemara says, no, you jump too early. Meaning, I'm not talking about the first half of the pasuk, lo sifaru esh, I'm talking about the second half of the pasuk. B'chol moshavoseichem. Don't burn a fire on Shabbos wherever you occupy, wherever you live. Moshavos matam alomar. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. Moshavos, what are you talking about? Shabbos is subject to living in Israel, being on the moshav, so to say. Shabbos chofes agufi v'chofes aguf noagis ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz aretz. You know, Shabbos is not agriculturally based. It's a chovas aguf. It's a mitzvah upon us. So moshavos because rechman alamali. So why does the Torah use the word moshavos as if to say it has something to do with where we reside? It's not true. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Alma Tamad Echad Lefishin Emar. So a student quotes Rabbi Shmuel by teaching us the following: Kiyeh beishchet mishpat mavez buhumas. The Torah says that if somebody needs to be executed, we're going to execute. Shamei ani bemechol bemeshabbos. Now execution is done when? I don't know. Maybe during the week and on Shabbos. What about the fact that it's a violation of Shabbos? So that means, yeah, of course you have to keep Shabbos. But if you have to execute, maybe execute on Shabbos. Or maybe no. Meaning keeping Shabbos means don't execute on Shabbos. And what about executing? Well, do it during the week. In other words, not on Shabbos. And then the Brisa just one more time swings in the other direction. Or maybe no. Maybe execute on Shabbos. Meaning, which value is greater? Shabbos or basis requirement of execution? That's what we're learning out from the drasha. The drasha is coming to teach us that I don't burn a fire. Again, it can't mean that this is agriculturally based because it's not. It's a chovas aguf. What is the Torah trying to communicate to us by saying b'chol moshvoseichem? Ulahalanu omer v'ayua eila lachem. And later the Torah describes Beis Din being a function of Moshe Avos. So you see that Moshe Avos keys us into Beis Din. Moshe Avos, we're learning now, is really code for Beis Din. And what the Torah is saying is, you Beis Din, you don't burn a fire on Shabbos. Why would Beis Din be burning a fire on Shabbos? For execution. And what the Torah is telling us is no, Beis Din is not allowed to execute on Shabbos. So, the Kal Vachomer would have led us to the conclusion that you do, Beis Din would execute on Shabbos, that's a Kal Vachomer. The Drush is telling us that Beis Din does not execute on Shabbos. So, in the dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, what we've just learned together is, we do have a Kal Vachomer that would lead us to doing a Meis Mitzvah on Shabbos, based in executing on Shabbos, and despite the fact that we have Kal Vachomer leading us in both of those directions, the Gemara tells us that the Drushas tells us otherwise. And we do not execute on Shabbos based on a Drusha. Kal Vachomer would have said otherwise, but the Drusha tells us that we do not. Which brings us back to the Amud Aleph, where the Amud Aleph says that you can't execute on Shabbos. The Gemara in the Amud Aleph just simply said it flatly. The Amud Beis of today's daf teaches us the actual drush and where we learned this from. Okay, we'll pause over here. There's a little bit more dialogue to go. It's a separate point. We'll start with it tomorrow.